come back to this bed.
Now, come on down off there, darling.
I ain't doing nothing.
You're liable to tell your good dress.
No.
You see, Smith? I told you you'd do that.
Ain't you going to talk to me?
For a little thing like that? Oh, kids will be kids. Nothing can disturb the equanimity of the world's most patient father. But I wish that bus would come before you push that building over. Oh, good. Now, remember how old you are.
Don't you know?
Yes, old. But on buses, you are not quite fit.
Daddy.
What?
I've been not quite fit for 2 years. Can I be not quite 7?
Now, don't start that, Smith. You know very well that on all public conveyances, general utilities, and sundry places of amusement, you have a ceiling age. Now, act young.
All right, Daddy.
All right. It's a young, not imbecile. All right. Get inside the... 20 cents, please. No, my friend. 15 cents. 5, you see.
Oh, yeah? How old are you, little girl?
She's not quite 6.
I didn't know a few, bub.
How old are you, little girl?
What is she, a moron?
No. Stop acting like that and tell the gentleman how old you are.
I'm not quite 6.
On your level?
No, I'm 30.
20 cents, please, Bob. Peasant.
Did I do all right, darling?
It is time for the bus number. Now, come on, let's see if we can find a seat.
I see lots of seats, Daddy.
You do?
Yeah. But there's people sitting in them.
Very good.
Can I, Daddy?
No, but that's how I won the title most patient fan. Oh, look, there's a couple of seats. Robin. Oh. Now sit quietly and let me read my paper.
All right, Daddy. Hold up.
Look, what are you doing?
Who's talking to my liver?
Oh, of all the asinine things. Whatever gave you that idea?
Not fine up there. It says, wake up your lazy liver.
Now stop that. Just keep quiet and let me read my paper.
All right. Daddy.
Oh, what?
Why that man get up over there?
Which man?
That one. He got up and he's standing there.
Oh. He gave a seat to the ladies.
Why?
Because it's customary for a gentleman to give a seat to a lady.
Daddy.
What?
There's a lady standing right in front of us.
Snooks must be talk so much.
Daddy, come on, Tom.
All right, but don't disturb anybody.
Mother, in those heart-to-heart talks with Mary Jane, do you tell her about subjects? The newer, cleaner, quicker, lighter, purer, neater, safer.
No.
Neater?
Read to yourself what you have to read.
Okay. Men, do you lie awake at night? Do you stare at the ceiling and perspire? If so, there is only one way to get quick relief. Go to sleep.
Now, where does it say that?
Your dad and I made it up.
No, why don't you surprise me and be nice today?
I got a surprise for you, Daddy.
Oh, good.
You know what it is? It's a present.
A present?
Yeah. I got it because I love my little girl.
Why, Snook? You've got a beautiful watch.
Oh, ain't it pretty?
Oh, you little darling. A note with an inscription on it.
Read it, Daddy.
Let me get it in the light. To Harry from Beatrice, 1926.
1926. Harry? Beatrice? Look, where did you get this one?
Out of that man's pocket.
Don't you know that's a crime? How am I going to let him know I've got it?
Leave it to me. Oh, Harry.
Huh? What?
What time is it?
Why, it's my watch. It's been stolen.
Give it back to him, Daddy.
Daddy, what?
Wait a minute. There's no need to get excited, old man. My little girl playfully took it out of your pocket.
Well, playfully put it back.
Here you are. Now, sir, what do you say to your mom? Well?
How's business?
No. I meant for you to tell the gentleman you are sorry.
If I tell him I'm sorry, can I go look out of the other window?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Bye, Harry.
Well, you seem to have pretty good control over the child, at that.
Well, why shouldn't I? I don't like to brag, but you're looking at the man who just received an award for his extreme patience and understanding, Miss Gilbert.
No kidding? They get prizes for that?
Well, they do in exceptional cases like mine.
Hey, say, can I ask you something, Bud?
Oh, sure.
How do you manage it? I got three kids of my own, beautiful little kids. But before I'm in the house 5 minutes, I'm ready to throttle.
Ah, but doesn't it all seem worthwhile when one of the little darlings sits on your knee and you look down into his face?
Hey, brother, when I got a kid over my knee, I ain't looking at his face.
My friend, it's obvious that you don't use the scientific approach. You must understand children and anticipate the workings of their minds.
What mind? All they do is hound me with questions. I ain't a bad father. I'm human. I answer the first question, they ask me a second one. I answer the second, they ask me a third. I answer the third, they ask me the first one again.
And that's where you must employ patience.
Patience, my eye. Nobody can hold his temper.
I didn't receive this award for my beautiful leg.
Well, and there's only one answer. Your kid don't ask questions.
Oh, she doesn't, eh? Why, she can ask more questions than 10 seconds. Oh, it's Luke. Come over here.
Yes, Daddy.
Look out the window.
I am.
What do you see out there?
A horse.
Well, isn't there anything you want to know about a horse?
No.
Please? Quiet. Give her a chance to warm up. Look. Do you know how many legs a horse has?
Four.
Well, what about a horse's eyes?
Daddy, you must have seen a horse before.
Yes, I've seen it.
See, I told you. She just don't ask questions.
Oh, it's just a mood, I tell you. A crazy mood. Oh, this'll do it. Look, darling. Do you know that a horse has two hind legs and four legs in front?
Yes. You call me that last week.
Patient father, huh? You're a fraud. Why, this child's an angel compared to mine. She doesn't know what a question is.
Good day, sir. Come on, sir. This is where we're getting off.
It ain't like you, Daddy.
Now, come on, come on.
Shine up your medal tonight, fraud.
Oh. Well, hurry, hurry. Come on, get up.
We're going to the movies, Daddy?
We'll walk the rest of the way. I just want to talk to you.
Go ahead, Daddy.
Listen, you little imp. Most of the time, you're driving me batty with questions. Once in my life, I want you to ask them, and you double-cross me.
Who?
You. Didn't you realize I was trying to prove something to that man?
Yes.
That man I was talking to.
When?
Just 2 minutes ago, I was talking to a man on the bus.
You were?
Yes.
What was his name?
Harry!
Harry who?
That's just it. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to take back that medal.
Why?
Because I don't deserve it.
She's been complaining of a pain in her leg for 3 days, and Daddy has coaxed her into this visit. They're waiting for the doctor. Let's listen.
Hi.
Yes, miss?
Hello, doctor.
She's in another room having a patient. She'll be in here in a few minutes.
What's the matter?
Those are doctor's instruments.
Is he going to play?
They're not music instruments, miss. They're used for making examinations.
Who uses them, Daddy?
The doctor.
What for?
To find out if people are sick.
What people?
The people who come here.
Why do they come here?
Because they're sick.
Then why doesn't he need those instruments?
To make sure
door.
Don't the people know?
No.
Why?
Because a lot of people only imagine they're sick when they're really not. A lot of other people think they're very healthy and they find out they're terribly sick. So when you feel good, you may be sick. And when you feel sick, you may be very healthy.
How do you feel about it?
I feel fine.
Because you're sick?
No. I'm in perfect health and I want you to be the same. That's why I brought you to the doctor.
Did you want to examine me?
Yes.
Where?
All over.
It only hurts me all over.
I know it doesn't, but you've had a pain in your leg for 3 days, and it might be caused by your tonsils.
Where, then?
In your throat.
Yes?
Your leg may hurt on account of your throat.
Does it slide out in the front of my leg?
Of course not.
Why?
How do I know? It just doesn't, that's all. Now, don't go too close to that instrument, please.
All right. That's one funny looking ice cream.
Well, they're not ice cones, but they're stethoscopes.
I want a body.
Oh, what for?
I want a blow out man.
I told you they have nothing to do with ice. The doctor's used that stethoscope on you before.
Has he?
Oh, certainly. And you know what he does with it, too? He puts one end in each ear, and then what happens?
The ice man calls him a wife.
No, it's like a telephone. The doctor puts those things in his ears and listens to your cardiac reaction. Oh, what's the matter?
I want to go home.
You can't go home. We're going to wait for the doctor. Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of. The doctor won't hurt you. He's known you ever since you were born.
No.
Well, they just happened to be there when you arrived.
Where?
Right here in California.
Was I born in California?
Oh, yes.
Where was you born?
In Denver.
Where was Mommy born?
Mommy was born in New York.
And how did we all get together?
I don't know. And stop pushing those dials.
I want to turn on the radio.
Oh, that's not a radio. It's an X-ray machine.
What's it for?
It's a very expensive medical machine for making pictures.
Turn it on,
Mary. What for?
I want to see any sample.
Oh, it doesn't make moving pictures. It takes pictures of the inside of your body so the doctor can tell what's wrong.
What's inside my body, Daddy?
Oh, a lot of things. To begin with, there's a large number of bones in your body. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you know?
Because I'm a problem clump.
Oh, I'm not talking about those bones. I mean the skeleton. Well, there's a skeleton standing right there in the corner. Well, what are you laughing at? You have one of those things inside of you. Now what are you howling about? I have got one. Everyone has a skeleton inside of him.
Who does that one belong to?
All right. Well, that skeleton belongs to the doctor.
How did he get it out?
He didn't get it out. He had it made for him in a medical supply house.
Don't he like it?
Of course he likes it.
Well, I don't know.
Never mind that. That's just an imitation skeleton that tells the doctor what's the matter with the patient.
The skeleton tells the doctor what's the matter with his patient?
Yes.
He don't look so good himself, Daddy.
That's not what I mean at all. The doctor consults the skeleton just to make comparisons. And when he wants to find out other things about the body, he looks at this chart here with all the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
The human anatomy is very intricate.
Mm-hmm.
And you should try and learn something about it. Why, even in school, they teach you about the five senses.
Yes?
The five senses. You know what the five senses are, don't you?
Look up.
No. They're the sense of touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. And there's a separate organ for each one.
I know that, Daddy.
Well, you tell me what they are.
Hmm?
Go on. You see with your visual organ. You hear with your hearing organ.
I smell with my nose, Daddy.
Yes?
I feel with my hand organ, and I use with my mouth organ.
Oh, well, I wish that doctor would hurry. Well, a few minutes, miss. I want to wait for the doctor. I'll just sit still. Look, I told you not to touch that X-ray machine.
All right, Daddy. What's the little hand of
hers? Look!
Oh, that's
good heavens, turn that thing off! Turn it off!
You still want to wait for the doctor, Daddy?
No. You, we are going to wait for the doctor. And you're going to tell him exactly what happened. Here he comes now.
What was that?
Good heavens, what happened to my X-ray?
Doctor, my little girl here will tell you the truth. Go ahead, sir.
Hmm?
Well, who broke this $5,000 machine? Tell him exactly what happened, sir.
All right. My daughter was trying to get the picture of Charlie's
back. What?
And the skeleton jumped on his back.
Oh!
So Daddy got mad and took the machine to pieces.
Oh. I'm going out to get a policeman.
Get a doctor, too.
What for?
My daddy says it.
Well, come along, Snoke. We'll try to make ourselves presentable for the great Charles Harding's lair.
While you're at it, you might glance through those books on the table.
Books?
Yes, Mr. Blair's books. He wrote them. But at least you can do a glance through them so you'll have some basis for dinner table conversation.
Oh, Vera, this is going too far.
It is not.
Read me about China.
Very well, I'll just read something at random.
All right.
Traveling in our little skiff down the Yangtze River,
yes,
we suddenly came upon a large building. The reader will never guess what it was.
Maybe it was a Yangtze Stadium.
Very funny.
Yes, so funny.
Do you mind if I continue reading?
Please do.
Very well. The reader will never guess what it was, although Oolong, my number one boy, made a feeble pun about the building, saying it might be the Yangtze Stadium. All right. Africa, the material. Chapter 3.
Yes.
Although it was pitch dark out, I suddenly called a halt as I instinctively realized we had reached the banks of the Nyanza River. We set camp early the following day and made our way down the Nyanza to Ngozi in the Kata region.
What's the matter, Daddy?
Nothing. That's what it says here.
Oh, I thought the teeth were slipping.
The third day out, Grep, my number one boy, sighted the Ngozi escarpment.
That must be him.
Huh?
Lancelot, look, it's Mr. Blair. Take up his room, hurry. Take it home, Lancelot. Comb your hair.
What hair?
Oh, dear, I'm so excited. I don't even know my own name.
Well, it's not Richard. Open the door.
Yes. Who filled my heart? Mr. Blair, I take it. So nice to see you. Come in, won't you?
You are Mrs. Higgins?
Yes.
And who, pray, is this?
This is my daughter.
My advice to you, madam, is not to take her to Africa in the open season. I've hunted things that look better than that.
Well, I know she's not pretty, but she's very bright.
And well-mannered.
And this?
My husband, Mr. Higgins.
Nature, Mrs. Higgins, has indeed been unkind to you.
Oh, I got
Come in.
Oh, Mrs. Blair, I brought you up some lunch.
Yes.
It's good, because I tasted it on the way up.
Just set it on the table and leave.
What's this thing over here?
That is a beehive.
A real one?
No, it's a model I use in my lecture. Almost impossible to tell if it's a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I can almost feel those little bees in there that are stinging me.
Even those little bees in there that are stinging you are perfect little models.
Yeah.
A careful at glass will break it.
No, I won't.
Don't touch it. This is it.
Yes, I know you, Mr. Blair.
You men barnacle and yours away from me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leave Mr. Blair alone, Smith.
And what were you doing, prowling around outside my door?
I just came up to tell you you're wanted on the telephone.
Oh, well, let me hook you long enough.
I came as fast as I could.
This is a pretty old make-believe bee house. Those little bees are so cute. I wonder if he's missing. If I just took one, I'll take this one. Oh, I broke it. What'll I do? Oh, I know. There's another beehive out in the apple tree. I'll get it to him and he won't know it.
Illustrate, ladies, by making reference to this model beehive here. Looks almost real, doesn't it? it has a hymn somewhere along here. Where is that thing?
Tell me, Mr. Blair, there's a bee crawling on your head.
Now, let's not let our imaginations run away with it. These are just imitation bees.
Oh, what the? Oh,
that's
a thousand of them. Oh,
well, I guess it's safe to go in now. I don't see any cars. The women must have gone home. Oh, dear. Oh, why are you crying?
What's the matter, Mommy? Don't you? What's the matter, Mommy?
Darling, what is it? What happened?
Last night, he was right to take about how many times when you wanted to give her his face. But now I want you to give her the look of her whole life.
Will somebody please tell me what happened?
My whole party ruined. Because that child broke Mr. Blair's marble beehive and substituted a wheel. It was awful. There were bees all over the place.
Well, where's Blair?
He left in a rage. He's not staying with us anymore. He's going to Mrs. Jackson. Well, last night, don't stand there. Do something.
No.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Come here. Leave the room, dear. This is not going to be pretty.
Not too high, Blindspot.
Just
teach her a good lesson.
I'll take care of it. Outside, dear. This is man's work.
Call me when it's over. I'll be in the next room. It's $5.
Quiet. Here's $0.50. Yeah, now start bawling.
But you didn't hit me yet.
I'm not going to, but I want some other to think I am. Now go ahead. Yell loud as though I'm hitting you. Take this. Take this.
Yes,
Daddy. Sit close by. I don't want you to get lost here at NBC.
Hey, Daddy, look on that door there. It says Parola Banco.
What about it?
What's the Parola Banco?
What's the Parola Banco?
Mm-hmm.
Just about the most famous stage actress today, that's all.
Oh, is that all?
Is that all? Who made such a great success in the Royal Family? Who starred in the hit play, The Skin of Our Teeth? Who thrilled thousands on Broadway in The Little Foxes? Who, I ask you, who?
Well, what are you crying about?
I didn't do it.
I know you didn't. Tallulah Bankhead did.
Why, when she's on a stage, nobody can even come close to her. And when she delivers a speech, audiences don't dare breathe.
You mean even her best friends won't talk?
Oh, stop. I mean that she's so good she's without an equal. What an actress. When she plays a love scene with a leading man, how she carries off a part.
Oh, which part of him does she carry off?
Don't be silly.
Just when I grow up.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're not pretty enough.
I'm ugly.
Well, at least it's a clean cut, ugly. Look, stay here a minute. Be back soon.
All right, Daddy. I don't care what Daddy says. I'm going to be an actress when I grow up. Like the little banker. Say, I know what I'll do. While Daddy's gone, I must have no door, and I'll ask her how to get to see them.
Come in.
Hello, Miss Blanford. Can I ask you something?
Please take those sweaty little paws off my heavy Carnegie gown. I'll plug you one.
You wouldn't have a little girl, would you?
No, but if you're as obnoxious as you look, I may boost you one. Well, get over with it. What have you got on your chest?
Nothing. I told you I was a little girl.
I would like this, darling. It is obnoxious. I mean, what do you want to ask me?
Can I get to be a big actress like you.
You don't be ridiculous, my dear. No one can be like me. Sometimes I even have trouble. If that's all that's worrying you, goodbye, darling.
Then I want to be an actress when I grow up.
Well, are you going to grow up? I should think you'd be discouraged enough already.
Maybe Daddy is right. I guess I'm too ugly to be an actress.
Your father told you that?
Yes.
Oh, the nerve of the man. But that's what they told me. That's what my father told me when I was a kid. It really soured me.
Yes. It's your hair.
I meant at the time. Well, I don't you believe it, darling. You can be an actress if you want. You are not ugly.
Yes, I am. Even you said so before. And it's true. A party boy never call me in for kissing games. They don't like me.
Oh, boy. What do they know?
They know they don't like me. I'm mumbling. Yes, I am.
Darling, as much as I hate to let my good side come out, let me tell you something. Now, you're not ugly. Well, not for the stage, anyway. You see, by the stage, there are many different kinds of beauty. Now, for instance, there's a delicate beauty. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's not your kind. But then there's a rather than exotic beauty.
What kind am I?
You? Well, you have the kind that's known as ugly beauty.
That's the kind?
Well, what I mean is that when a really fine actress plays the part of a beautiful woman, she has the personality to make an audience believe she actually is beautiful. In fact, many great people have had that ability.
Who, for instance?
Well, take Abraham Lincoln. He was homely, but because he had such a wonderful, sincere personality, his homely face became beautiful to everybody. Now, do you understand?
Yes. And I feel better already.
Ah, you do.
Yes. Now, only yesterday a boy said, I look like Abraham Lincoln.
Good heavens, there is a resemblance. Well, look here, Abe. I mean, darling.
Yes, Miss Frankhead.
Now, don't worry. If you really want to be a great actress when you grow up, you can.
Gee, thanks, Miss Tallulah. You're just wonderful.
Fine. Now, run along. You're starting to bore me. Good heavens, this child is obviously going to grow up to be another Bette Davis.
It's no stay you are.
Gee, it's fine.
I'm sorry if he bothered you, Miss Benson.
Isn't he wonderful, Daddy? And isn't that a beautiful dress she's wearing?
Yes. Isn't it?
And it's so soft and fluffy.
Take those sweaty paws off my habit tying you down. I mean you, Daddy. Oh.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Well, come on, sir. I really do hope we haven't bothered you, Miss Bankhead. Come on, sir. Say goodbye to Miss Bankhead and tell her you're sorry you bothered her. And for heaven's sake, pull up your garters.
Goodbye, Miss Bankhead, and I'm sorry I bothered you. And for heaven's sake, pull up your garters.